Okay, political diss of the year. Louise, back to you.
I have put down the politicians who did not appear on Putin's list of banned politicians from Russia. This came out a couple of months ago that there was 51 or 52 Irish politicians banned from Russia. At first we heard the kind of the high profile names, the Taoiseach, the Tánaiste, Helen McEntee, Pascal Donoghue, the Ciarán Cóirla. And that day in Leinster House, I haven't seen such a buzz in a long time. There was people walking up and down the corridors and you'd go, "Are you on the list?" And they go, "I hope I'm on the list. I'd wear it as a badge of honour if I'm on the list." Like, people were gasping, yeah, like genuinely gasping to be on the list. And it was 51 or 52, I can't remember, but there's 160 TDs, 60 senators. So a lot of them didn't get on the list. And some of them were fuming they weren't on the list, couldn't figure out why they weren't on the list. And a lot of annoyed people that day. So right, that's my political diss of the year.
Harry, reminiscent of authors who wished to be banned in the 1950s in order to achieve international notoriety and shift a few book units.
Something like that, yeah. Reds under the bed. There was a disproportionate number of Fianna Fáil TDs and not as many Fine Gael TDs as we would have. Was Neil Richmond excluded originally?
No, Neil Richmond was on the list.
And no Sinn Féin TDs, of course.
Mark Daly was excluded, the Cathaoirleach of the Shannon, even though he went to Ukraine and met Zelensky.
And got an award for... He got awarded some grand title by them as well.
So rumour has it that The reason why there were so many Fianna Fáilers on the list is that some of them had signed some petition to get, was the Russian ambassador expelled or something like that?
Yeah,
so I think that's how so many of them ended up on the list, is their take on it all.
Jennifer, have you been included on any such list?
Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Right, what did you make of that particular event in Irish politics where people achieved some level of notoriety, but there were people actually fighting to be trolled by the Kremlin, something you'd kind of think they get every day on social media?
Absolutely. But what I went for is actually linked to the Russians, but it's the Cork, it's technically the Irish South and West Fish Producers Organisation, who challenged the Russian Navy with saying that they were going to go out and fish in the waters they were always fishing in. And to me, it was a very kind of Cork, Kerry solution to an Irish problem of, we're going there, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. If you shoot us, that's your problem. We're going where we want to go. And at the end, the Russian Navy were pretty much saying, we're very sorry, we'll just move away from there.
It wasn't the Skibbereen Eagle that says, watch out, sir, we're watching you. So Southwest Cork does have that reputation of being the best Russia watchers in the business.
Absolutely. It's not the rebel county for nothing.
Right. Philip?
My moment of the year was... Oh, no, sorry, we were on to...
We're diss of the year.
Diss of the year.
Do you
sorry,
want me to
my
come
diss
back
of
to
the
you?
Year. Sorry, I was trying to look at my phones, forget and remember what I did. But it was Leo Varadkar, one of his many, many spats of the year with Piers Doherty. But this particular one was... When Leo, I forget what the nature of the actual debate was, but somehow...
It was about the fact about the leak. Was it about the leak?
No, he brought... Yeah, but
and
I don't think that was
criminal
what it was
prosecution.
About. But he brought up... Piers Doherty brought up the leak investigation, which was ongoing at the time and is still in the news up until last week.
Here's what I prepared earlier.
Yeah, and Leo dug into
my little black book.
Yeah, from 25 years ago, some altercation Piers Doherty got into with guards while he was staying in Dublin as a very young man.
Now, along with Matt Carty, I think.
With
was,
Mac, Now he got... There was no criminal conviction or anything like that. I think it was an old rap.
But for sheer
knuckles.
Homework. For
oh, yeah. Diss, to be digging out things from that era to hit someone with was... It's for sheer pettiness, I think, is why I listed it.
We're gonna fit in one of your runners-up, Louise, Maddie McGrath.
Oh yeah, this was great. So there was a conversation in the Dáil about turf, and the Tánaiste had said something at a parliamentary party meeting or something like that, being like, oh, banning turf is like banning wine in France or something like that. And the Taoiseach got up and said something like, well, I don't think turf is like wine, I think turf is like whiskey. And Maddie McGrath roars across the Dáil.
Well, I think we have a clip of it. Let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
You will be laughing when you will be kept.
You're having green tea.
I think you all need to relax a bit.
When you will be laughing.
You're drinking too much green tea.
As I said.
You're drinking too much green tea.
You're relaxing too
much. On your head.
It was cracking. Like, it was just perfect. And like, I don't think the Taoiseach took it as an insult. He's very fond of the green tea. But it was one of those moments. It was cracking. It really was.
Yeah. Okay. Who knew green tea had such mind-altering qualities? Harry, you went for something... more high fibre, a trade deal and the handling of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Patrick Costello particularly, but also Nasa Hourigan took some flack for having the temerity to take on the EU and the government and the Canadians in relation to the trade deal with the Canadians, CETA. And he initially lost the challenge he took in the High Court. And then people were saying that's going to be a Turris and Ashka, that he's not going to get anywhere with the Supreme Court, but he won. And essentially what it has done is that it's actually thrown the government into, it's a very complicated Supreme Court judgment, and there's different judgments from different judges, so it's going to take an awful long time to untangle it, but it's thrown our whole approach to CETA into chaos, and maybe kind of revived that kind of those dividing lines within the Green Party that might have seemed to have been kind of patched over during the course of the summer. So, I mean, was it a diss? I think Patrick Costello had genuine reasons for taking it. And I think that was something that he can probably stand over at the end of the year and all say, right, this is something that was worth doing.
Very briefly, Jennifer Cavanagh, you're the legal expert around the table here, metaphorically speaking. Would you agree it was, he did the state some service?
I would absolutely agree that he did, because, well, first of all, he's not going to be very popular with law students going forward because of the length of the judgment. It was almost like the Supreme Court couldn't agree on what they were going to agree on. So every single judge gave their own judgment. So it's, I think it's coming up to about 500 pages nearly to read through for students. But it's definitely adding into that area of law, looking at, you know, where the courts are willing to tell the executive or the Oireachtas, as happened in the Kearns case before, where they practically need to get back in their boxes would be the general version of separation of powers.
OK, well, for making students suffer alone, Patrick Costello is the winner of that particular section.